how entrepreneurs can help the American dream get its mojo back. It's a TEDx talk about diversity and innovation. This week on Techonomics, we talk to the architect of that talk with guest host and veteran journalist Julian Guthrie.
This is Julian Guthrie filling in for Jason Middleton, who is on vacation. We are talking with Teresa Gao, a venture capitalist, about women in Silicon Valley. We are here with Teresa Gao, one of the real unicorns of Silicon Valley. She is a successful woman entrepreneur, a successful woman venture capitalist, and she and another extraordinary woman, Jennifer Fonstad, started their own venture capital firm called Aspect Ventures. Why don't you explain what venture capital is for those who don't know and how it differs from other forms of banking?
Hi, Julian. It's great to be here. Venture capital is completely different from banking or other finance, although we obviously do present financing. And I actually think of myself more as being in the technology and startup business than I think of myself as being a banker or financier. So what we do is we provide capital. So we invest in very early stage startups. For Aspect in particular, and most venture capitalists, it's around tech startups. And we will often be the very first money other than angels or friends and family. And we might provide a few hundred thousand or a few million dollars to a company to help them get off the ground. And then we will continue to invest in those companies for 8 to 10 years until they go public. So maybe it will be helpful if I give a specific example.
That'd be great. So you don't invest and walk away. You're very much there rolling up your sleeves and helping in whatever way you can, right?
Definitely that different than when you get a loan or whatever from the bank. They kind of send you a check and then you pay your payments and then they get back to you unless you're delinquent in those payments. So yes, we think of ourselves as the first institutional business partners to these technology entrepreneurs, these tech startups. So a real life example that might be known to people here in the Bay Area because it's a SF company is Trulia, which is now went public and then now is part of the Zillow Group, an online real estate search company. So that is a company that I invested in, Pete and Sami, the co-founders, when there were 4 people in the company.
Wow. And weren't they still at Stanford?
So I met them first when they were still at Stanford Business School through a connection. I also went there. They actually did raise some angel money. So from other individual angel investors like Greg Waldorf and also Kevin and Julia Hartz, who are now the co-founders of Eventbrite. So a lot of times angels are other entrepreneurs, right? So they invest in one another's startups. That was in the spring of 2005. And then I had to wait till they graduated and were working full time. And in the fall, I invested the first venture capital round, which was $4 million. Into their company when they had 4 people.
Wow. And so you were the first investor in
as an institutional, yes.
Okay. And you were at Excel at that time,
yes,
right?
I was at my prior firm. We started Aspect in 2014, so this was before. Right. And then I continued to invest in the company and was on the board of directors from then until their IPO in 2012, remained on the board after their IPO. We bought another public company, and then eventually a couple of years after our IPO, we merged with Zillow, which was another real estate search site in the same space.
This is an area where there's big risk, there's big reward too. So for instance, your $4 million in the company, what did it yield you? Not you personally, but the investment.
Firm, right. Just that specific $4 million, and then we continue to invest in other rounds. That's called the Series A, the first institutional round, and then B, C, beyond. But that particular investment, the company was valued in the sort of $10 to $15 million kind of range. The company went public at about a $350 million market capitalization. Eventually, as an independent company, it got to about $1.5 to $2 billion in value and was ultimately acquired by Zillow for $3.5 billion.
Amazing. But you recently gave a great TED Talk, and you talked a lot about your background as the child of first generation immigrants and also how that relates to the American dream, entrepreneurship, tech, the American dream.
And actually, just tying back to this, interestingly, both Pete Flint and Sami Inkinen are immigrants to the United States, as I think the stats show something like 40% of tech founders are have a co-founder who's an immigrant.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It's pretty
40%.
High.
40%,
okay. I do think there's a lot of tie into sort of that drive to sort of build something and start something new. And from being an immigrant for me personally, and I think as you see in the numbers for a lot of other people. And I think part of it comes from the fact that immigrants or children of immigrants have seen how their parents or they were willing to give up everything to take a risk in order to have the opportunity to pursue, quote unquote, the American dream. When you see that people have given up so much to give you a chance to pursue whatever you may want to the greatest of your abilities, it really drives you to work harder. And interestingly, conversely, also I think makes the idea of taking risk, which entrepreneurs, you know, people doing startups, I mean, we gave an example of a successful one, but we all know the numbers, you know, 8, 9 out of 10 don't work out, right? But it puts it in context. It's like, you know, if I start something and it doesn't work out, what is really my risk, right? As opposed to taking a much greater physical risk, moving across the world from Jakarta, Indonesia to the United States and going from being a dentist and a nurse to being a dishwasher and a waitress in a Chinese restaurant. So the risk if my startup doesn't work, you know, I've gotten my education, I'm in America, I'll find something else. I'll do another startup or I'll get a job at a larger company.
In your TED Talk, you told this fun story about being the daughter of Chinese immigrants who had very high expectations. There were to be no B's, there were to be no C's. And tell what you said about, you know, when you got a B and you got a C.
This part is pretty typical, at least, of Asian immigrant children. So I was expected to be a doctor or possibly an engineer and follow in the footsteps of, you know, my parents and my aunts and uncles. I chose engineering because I don't like blood or dissection. But the problem was that my first semester at Brown, where I went, I got a B, which is known as Asian F, for those of you who are familiar. And then I also got a C, which I am not familiar with an Asian name for it because I think people just, it's like not spoken. What is that?
And a C, it does not exist.
Does
right?
not exist. You know, my parents had actually, they had taken out a second mortgage on the house so that I could go to Brown because they knew that was my dream school when I was fortunate enough to get in. And I was not doing well in engineering, as I said. I was, however, doing very well in my sociology classes. I got an A+. And I was asked to be an undergraduate teaching assistant. So I went back and asked my father during the next break. I said, well, you know, Dad, I have great news. I think I'm going to change my major to sociology because I'm doing so well there. Aren't you happy for me about that? And his response was, I am sure they teach sociology at the local community college here.
Oh.
And I said, well, why would I quit Brown and move home to Buffalo, New York and go to community college? And my dad doesn't say much and he didn't say anything and he literally just looked at me. I understood at that moment what it meant because for a lot of people, you know, the first time you go to college, you're not used to seeing anything but an A. And he basically was like, I'm not sacrificing and continuing to sacrifice so much just so you can give up when it starts to get hard. But I remember back to my childhood, think about all the things he had given up and worked very hard for and taken risk so that I could have that educational opportunity. And he didn't want me to give up just because it seemed like the easier path. And, you know, I thank my dad for this to this day. I did stay. I did end up getting my engineering degree. I figured it out. But it was sort of like someone needed to basically say, that's not an option. You can't just give up when things get hard because lots of things in life are going to be hard. And most things that are worth doing, you're going to hit some obstacles along the way.
Teresa Gao is the daughter of Chinese immigrants who has gone after and achieved the American dream. Her story is next. I'm Julian Guthrie, filling in for Jason Middleton, who is on vacation. This is Techonomics.